Well, let's pray for our time in the Word. Father, we thank you for the awesome time we've had coming into your presence this morning. And we know, Lord, that you want to speak to us. You want to reveal something more of yourself to us. You want to touch our hearts. And so we just offer up our hearts and our minds to you right now, Lord, to the power of your Word, and ask that you would have your way. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, some of you are aware that there's an old saying that, you know, if you have two Jews, you have three opinions. So here's a little story. There was a young scholar, Torah scholar from the Midwest, who was invited to become the rabbi in a small old community in Brooklyn. And on his very first Shabbat, a hot debate erupted as to whether one should or not stand during the reading of the Ten Commandments. The next day, the rabbi, who was quite smart, decided to visit 98-year-old Mr. Schwartz in the nursing home. "Mr. Schwartz," he said, "I'm asking you as the oldest member of the community, what is our synagogue's custom during the reading of the Ten Commandments?" "Well, why do you ask?" said Mr. Schwartz. "Well, yesterday we read the Ten Commandments for the first time since I've been here," said the young rabbi. "Some people stood, some people sat. The ones standing started yelling at the ones sitting, telling them to stand up. The ones sitting started yelling at the ones standing, telling them to sit down." "Well," said the old man, "that is our custom." So we are coming to the end. We've come to the end of the Christmas and Hanukkah season. And as I was thinking about it, as I was preparing, I began to see that there's some things that these two seasons have in mind, like lights, right? And gifts came to my mind. And as they came to my mind, the Holy Spirit just began to talk to me about gifts. This is a season, whether you're Jewish or you're Christian, this is the season of gifts, right? Giving and receiving. How many got a Hanukkah or a Christmas gift here? Raise your hand. Great. Everyone loves to receive gifts, and almost everyone loves to give gifts too, right? I hope you all got what you wanted or you need, what you needed for Hanukkah and or Christmas. How many got what they wanted? How many got what they needed? Oh, fewer. So let's talk a little bit about gifts. What is truly a gift? It's something that you don't work for. It's something that you don't earn. And a true gift is given to you with no expectation of you paying for it or giving a gift in return. Some other things about gifts, they're usually given by the giver as a token of his or her love for you. And it's meant to make you aware of that love, to give you a tangible expression of that love. And almost always, gifts cost something. They're given at the cost of a cost to the giver, and they're meant to bring joy to the receiver of the gift. And if the gift lasts for a long time, it makes you remember the giver with thanksgiving for a long time. Some gifts are for the moment, like somebody might give you a treat to eat. Just lasts a moment. Some gifts are for a limited time, like a bouquet of flowers. It lasts a few days. And some gifts last all of our lives, like a piece of valuable jewelry or something like that. So what I received very clearly from the Holy Spirit this week as I was praying is that the Spirit of God wants each of you to be aware that God has given each of you gifts. Gifts you need, gifts you want, gifts he desires to bring you joy, gifts he wants you to be thankful for, and gifts that will last a long, long time. In James chapter 1, it speaks about good gifts. And if we have that slide here, it says this: "Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who made the heavenly lights. With him there is neither variation nor darkness caused by turning." So God's gifts are good and they're lasting. So as I was preparing, I felt led to do something very different today. And what I did was brought a gift. Actually, there's about 17 gifts in here, if you can believe that. And I felt led to make this a participatory gathering that we would have today. So what I'm going to ask for is, we'll start out with about 15, if we can, people who would volunteer to take a gift out of this box. The gifts are written on paper. They're not checks. Okay. Take a gift out and read what it says. And all that are going to be there are scriptures. And then say what the gift is. And that might be a little tricky. This is kind of like those of you who have been in the Messianic Judaism class. Read a scripture and see what it says. It's surprising how some people can't see what it says. But just see, what is the gift that's being spoken of there? And then, here's the best part. You are invited to react in a way appropriate to that gift. Okay? So that everybody can see what you think of that gift. Like you were really receiving a gift from God. Okay? So I'm going to ask everybody who would like to participate in this to come and fill in these closer rows here. I got two. We're going to need some more. You can't come then. There's three. Come on, we're going to need some. One, two, three, four, five, six. We need some men. Come on, men. Come on, Rich, you can move up a little bit. No, I know we got one. Now we got two. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Need about five, six more. Come on, here comes some. Miriam, okay. David, that's 11. You see, if we don't get everybody up here, it's going to take forever to do this if you have to come all the way from. Albert, John is pointing at Albert. How about you, John? Both of you. Okay, okay. All right, I think we've got almost enough. Okay, so here we go. Who would like to open gift number one?
I will.
All right, Desi. And you get not only a gift, but you get a microphone to read it. So would you turn on that other mic? Oh, where's Larry? Oh, okay. I can't give her this one. Let me see. Is it? Maybe it's on already. It's on. Okay.
It's
all right.
On.
All right. Okay. Take that first one out. All right. And read it and tell us what the gift is.
Genesis 2:7. Then Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, formed the man out of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. So the man became a living being.
Hey, what's
so
the gift?
The gift is life. It's the breath of God breathed into us.
How do you feel about receiving that gift?
Rabbi doesn't know I'm just like this. My mother does that. But yes, I feel alive. So
all right.
Breathe.
Breathe it in. Life. God has given you, every one of you, life. Okay? We take it for granted. L'chaim is life in Hebrew. But your very life, just consider this, is a gift of God. He gave it to you. Okay. Next one. Who'd like to do number two?
I'll be brave.
Okay, be brave. This is a tough one.
Oh, why did you have to give me a tough one for?
Because you're so smart. Number two.
This is why a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife and they become one flesh. Well, that's marriage.
The gift.
God's plan for family.
Absolutely. See, I knew he'd get it. Okay.
It wasn't so hard.
Okay, now react to it. Give thanks for it. You don't all have to react like this.
That's it.
That's it? Okay. All right, I'll react.
Okay.
I'll react to this. God created human beings different from almost all the animals in the world. He created men and women to stay together as a unique couple for life. And that was so that every human being would have a father and a mother who would conceive them, nurture them, and raise them. That was God's plan. Now, I know some of you, mostly all of you, experienced at least part of that. That certainly everyone here experienced being conceived, right? And most of you experienced being nurtured and raised. Some of you didn't, and I understand that. Some had hard childhoods, but But it was God's plan that you be nurtured and raised by two adults, and God created families. That was the word that Twain used. God created families. And let's just give thanks that God made families. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us families. Okay, another tough one. Who wants another tough one? Number three. No, some of them are easy. This is another tough one. All right, Ethel's going to try the tough one.
Maybe I'll get an easy one. It's so sure it's going to be tough.
It'll be a gift, whatever.
Oh, ye of little faith. Can I open the box? do I just pick one?
No, nope, no, top one. They're in order.
Oh, I see.
Just don't look at it and see if it's number three, please. Thank you.
Oh, that's hard. He doesn't trust me. Where's the love?
Deuteronomy 8:18. Rather, you are to remember Adonai your God, for it is he who gives you power to make wealth in order to establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. He gives us power to make wealth.
Yes, he does.
I guess the gift is the ability to work.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
the
Ethel.
The ability to work and earn an income. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes,
bring,
you.
It bring it on. Bring it on. Show me the money.
You got it. You got it. You got it, Ethel. Now, what I saw on this, what God has given really every person that is born into this world natural talents, things they can do well. And those things are usually the things that end up making a living with. Things like the visual arts, musical arts, drama, writing ability, mathematical ability, language ability, reasoning ability, physical strength or dexterity, gardening ability, cooking abilities. Those are things that God gives to everyone. Somebody gets some of that, you know. Everybody here has those talents, and it enables us to make a living, make a livelihood. So thank you, Lord, for talents, natural talents. Okay, number four. This is a pretty easy one. Got somebody for an easy one. Go ahead, open it up, and I'll hand you this. Number four.
From Exodus 24:12, then Adonai said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the Torah and the mitzvot, commandments, which I have written so that you may instruct them. So it's God's law.
Yes, yes.
Our guidance.
Okay, so react to, how are you thankful for God's word?
Yes, I've always been. Thank you.
Okay. So what I realized looking at this, you know, at this verse, it is about God giving the Torah to Moses, but God actually gave his word to the whole world because he gave it to Israel, and his intention was for Israel to give it to the rest of the world. So I just took a quick look at, you know, how much of the world it's gone to. Do you know that the full Bible has been translated into 531 languages. And portions of it have been translated into 2,883 languages. So the word has gone to the whole world, and it is a gift. I mean, God gave it to us. We didn't earn it. He gave it to us. Okay, number five. This is a tough one again. What's a tough one? Okay. Hannah, a tough one. Okay. Well, there you go.
Gift number five, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Free will?
Yes! Woo! Now, wait a minute. I think you were more thankful for getting it right than for getting free will. That was for free will. Okay. All right. We got it. Okay. Number six is really easy. Who wants a really easy one? Ah, Naoka.
Gift number six, Isaiah 9:5. For to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, of my Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and shalom there shall be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until forevermore. Well, that would have to be Yeshua, of course.
That would be Yeshua.
The Son. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you for the Son.
Where would we be without you? It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. It's always about him. Always.
That was being thankful. Yes. Amen. Yes. So, you know, God gave Yeshua to Israel, if you look at the context of this verse, but later he explained that it was for more than Israel. So if we could see the next verse up there, which you're probably all familiar with, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only and unique son so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, well, what does he mean by the world? Does he mean the rocks and the trees and the water? No, he means every person in the world. So Yeshua actually came for every person in the world. He gave him. And not everyone has chosen to receive this gift, but God gave this gift to the whole world. And it's actually so amazing. That's why this season is really so amazing. The way he gave us the gift of Yeshua, coming as a child, actually conceived in a virgin's womb. Really, if you've heard me teach on this and the study that I did about this, he came as an embryo, as a fertilized egg, because from the time he was conceived, he was there, right? So he came and was conceived in this world, and he had to live through all the stages of life because of the way he came. Through development in his mother's womb, and you know, the doctors have come to the conclusion that the infants in the womb actually experience what's going on in their mother's life. Like if there's great trauma going on, it affects the baby. If there's peace, it affects the baby. So, you know, just think about what it was like in the womb there. First of all, the first few weeks I was thinking about before she, you know, had sign that she was actually pregnant and she had been told she was pregnant. Can you think of all the doubts she might have had? Did I really hear that? You know, did I really see that angel? Is it really going to happen to me? And then after it became clear, because she was starting to get big, she started to experience a fear of people thinking that she had committed fornication and would be punished for that. And then she had fear of Joseph breaking the engagement. So she went through all of that during the pregnancy, and somehow Yeshua experienced a mother who went through that. Whatever that effect is, scientists still don't know what effect it has, but they know it has an effect. And then in infancy, you know, we just take it kind of for granted. Oh, they fled to Egypt. Well, wait a minute. They were in fear of their lives, and they had to flee as exiles and go find a place to live in a foreign country where they didn't speak the language. This was not a small thing that he experienced. And then, of course, he had to go through toddlerhood and childhood and puberty and all the struggles that go with that, and teen years and young adult years. And finally, about the age of 30, his call to ministry. And somewhere in there, something that I've never heard anybody even talking about, but it's pretty obvious when you read through the Gospels that his father wasn't around. So somewhere he lost his father and would have been grieving for the man who had raised him. And then, of course, everybody is aware of what happened after that, all of the terrible service and opposition that he experienced just because he so blessed people. So he experienced persecution, being misunderstood, envy, hatred, betrayal by a close friend, false accusations, injustice, brutality, abuse, and finally murder. All of that. And that's how God gave to us, through all that. And what's so important about him coming and living through all human experiences? I believe it enables us to relate to him as a brother. He went through the things we have to go through. He had the experience in trials. He went through more trials than we'll ever face, really. And we understand not only that he went through them, but that he can empathize with us. He knows what we're going through. So when we pray, we know that he understands what we're going through. Now, also, just want to make another comment about this. I realized years ago that there was no evidence for Yeshua being born on December 25th. And I think most of you are aware of that. And I believe the date was selected to replace Hanukkah because the church at that time under Constantine was ridding itself of all Jewish holidays and people had to have holidays. So they replaced the Jewish holidays and they replaced Hanukkah, and they also had it coincide with a Roman pagan holiday so that it would fit right in. And then after I understood that, and some of you have heard me talk about this study, I discovered that there is some biblical evidence. It's not absolute, but there is some biblical evidence that his birthday is on Sukkot, which is in the seventh month of the Jewish year, on the 15th day of the month, which would have been like back in October. And if you believe that, it's very simple to back up 9 months. And if he was born on Sukkot, to realize that he was conceived around the end of Hanukkah. And I like to think, and again, don't have hard evidence, but he was conceived at the shortest or darkest day of the year, which is right around the winter solstice. So that would have been, let's see, 6 days ago. And also when there's a new moon around that time, it's also the darkest night of the year. So it's the darkest day and night of the year. And so if you believe that, if you agree, even if you don't believe Christmas is his birthday, we can celebrate the Messiah's coming at this time, right? Because his conception rather than his birth would have happened at this time of the year. So we don't have to be like, whoa, we can't be happy because the Lord came. We can be rejoicing with the rest of the world. They're celebrating his birth. We're celebrating his conception, right? And here's the phrase that the Lord gave me to understand this. The light of the world came into the world on the darkest day of the year during the Festival of Lights. Isn't that cool? Let's say it again. Let's say the light of the world came into the world on the darkest day of the year during the Festival of Lights. So thank you, Lord, for giving that unimaginable gift. Thank you, Lord. So far, the gifts that we've looked at six gifts, were all given to everybody. You know, Yeshua was given to everybody, but not everybody receives him. But now we're going to look at some additional gifts for those who trust, as the scripture we just read said, in his only and unique son. So, here we go. Who wants number seven? Here we go. It's a pretty easy one.
Gift number seven, Romans 6:23. For what one earns from sin is death, but eternal life is what one receives as a free gift from God in union with the Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. So the gift is eternal life.
Amen. Amen. Yes. You can give thanks for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Miriam. So what is this? What is this eternal life? Some people really don't understand it because they don't understand that we are spiritual beings. Our essence is that we are spirits and we will all live forever. So what is eternal life? Well, eternal life is life in fellowship with God, in right relationship with God. And when does eternal life start? A lot of people think it starts when you die. But when does it start? It starts when you're born anew from above. That's what you're born into. You are born into that right relationship with God. You become a child of God. And so your life goes on from ever. So right now you have eternal life. Can you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you.
You have eternal life. And it's going to go on forever. And when you leave this body, it's going to go on in heaven. Right? Now, what's eternal death?
Hell.
Well, eternal death is being separated from God, starting now and going on forever, because you're still alive. Your spirit is still alive in the sense that it exists according to the Bible, but it is now in a place separated from God, not a good place, hell, right? And so eternal life is victory over eternal death. And what do you have to trust about Yeshua? Because we read in this verse, John 3:16, that we have to trust in Yeshua. What do you have to trust about Yeshua to receive the gift of eternal life? Many people think it's just, well, I believe he existed. I believe he came and, you know, he was a man. But that isn't it. That's not what gets you the gift of eternal life. You have to trust that he died on the cross to pay the price for your sin and everyone else's, and to enable you to have a personal relationship with God, to have this eternal life. And I believe this is also very important, that his death was able to pay such an incredibly high price. I mean, basically paying a ransom for every person that ever lived for every sin, only because he was spotless. He was without sin. And I don't believe that that's possible unless he was God himself come as a man. Because I've never met any human being who has never sinned. And maybe anybody here want to make that claim? No. And I've never read a book by anybody who could claim it. I've never met anybody who said anybody was without sin. So he had to be God himself come as a man. So eternal life is what we all have, what you all have who believe and trust in him. Okay, gift number eight. Who would like to look for gift number eight? Okay, David. Well, got it? All right. Here you go, David.
Gift number eight, Ephesians 2:8. For you have been delivered, saved by grace through trusting, and even this is not your accomplishment, but God's gift. It's a gift to God, eternal life.
Eternal life. And what did it say in the beginning of the verse there?
We have been delivered.
Delivered or saved.
Saved.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Say thank you.
Thank
We've
you,
been
Lord.
Saved. Delivered.
I have a testimony about the first
Not now, David. So, salvation. People, we all have to understand this salvation is from the destruction that we all deserve due to our sins. The salvation from that destruction is the gift of God. Being saved from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death in the next life, and being saved from the penalty of sin in this life, because we all should be growing in our ability to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So we should be having more and more victory over sin in our lives. So we are saved from the way we can mess it up more and more each day. Okay, another precious gift in the next couple of verses there, which let's see if anybody can get. This is a little bit tougher. Who wants to try? Carissa? Okay. Number nine.
Ephesians 2:9. You are not delivered by your own actions. Therefore, no one should boast, for we are of God's making, created in union with the Messiah Yeshua, for a life of good actions already prepared by God for us to do.
What's the gift?
I would assume the gift is what God has prepared us to do, our ministry,
yes.
Our personal ministry,
yes.
That God has called us to do.
Amen. Good. So I would say this is, and you can give thanks after I say this, this is purpose. God has given each person who trusts in him a purpose. Okay, can you give thanks? You have a purpose in life?
I can. I have a great purpose in life. God has given me a wonderful ministry, and I love it. I'm working with kids, and I'm ministering into their lives, and I love it, and I thank God so much for
awesome.
The ministry he has given me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So many that I meet and talk with in this world have no purpose. And when they don't have a purpose, it leads to destruction. It really does, because it leads to depression. It leads to all kinds of evil if there's no purpose. And so Carissa has a purpose right now. She's going to have lots of purposes God has in her life. Every one of you here, God has a purpose. And I love it here. It says that they were already prepared for you. He prepared them beforehand for you to walk in. And this is also referred to in a verse that I also have on the slide here, Matthew 5:6, that we've looked at before. Yeshua says, in the same way, let your light shine before people so that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. So our good actions that Ephesians talks about, that God has already purposed us to do, should cause other people to praise God. Why? Because they experience God's love coming through you to them and inspired by God to them. And for that, people will praise God, meaning they will turn to the Lord. They'll turn to him and put their trust in him. So, some other gifts that are given to those who trust in Yeshua. Number 10. Who hasn't gone here? Lenore, you're up there. Right? Okay.
Gift number 10, Romans 5:17. For if, because of the offense of one man, death ruled through that one man, how much more will those receiving the overflowing grace that is the gift of being considered righteous rule in life through the one man, Yeshua the Messiah? Aye, the gift of being righteous.
Righteous. The gift of righteousness.
I wanted to say I'm so thankful during this time that God gave us his word that keeps us sane, because everything's going crazy around us. We have sanity because of the Lord. Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So let me explain a little bit about this righteousness. There's two kinds of righteousness. And I talked about this a few weeks ago. There's what theologians call forensic righteousness and behavioral righteousness. So forensic righteousness is based on Yeshua's atoning sacrifice, as is behavioral righteousness in a way. And forensic righteousness is being regarded as righteous or being right standing with God in the sense that God has cleared you of guilt for past sins, and that God has given you a new human nature inclined to obey God rather than rebel against him as it was before. And Yeshua has made forensic righteousness available to everyone by paying on everyone's behalf the penalty for their sins, which God's justice demands a penalty for, which is death. But this does not mean that you will not still fall short and still experience times when you mess up and when you sin, but that the atonement for your sin is available to you and your heart is set on obeying the Lord. So the task of becoming behaviorally righteous begins with appropriating forensic righteousness, God's forgiveness for your past, and by trusting Yeshua to enable you to walk in the Spirit for the rest of your life. And it really, that task of becoming behaviorally righteous, that's what Paul means by working out your salvation. It goes on for the rest of your life. It's that struggle that we all struggle with the flesh and with the enemy, because no matter how long we walk with the Lord, we're still going to have to struggle for that behavioral righteousness, because the enemy is always continuing to tempt us. Okay, number 11. Let's see, Jana or Albert, you are... Albert? Come on, Albert. All right, anybody else? I need someone. Here comes James. Okay, all the way from the back.
Okay, gift number 11. Acts 2:38, Kepha, Peter, answered them, "Turn from sin, return to God, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness for your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit."
Amen. Well, what's
thank
the
you,
gift?
Lord. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, now you need to react as if you just received a gift from God.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. All right. So Rabbi Shaul or Paul tells us this means something very special that we all need to understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says this, "Don't you know that your body is a temple for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside you, whom you receive from God? The fact is you don't belong to yourself." So we talked about this last week when we dedicated this temple, that when does the Spirit of God come into this temple? When we do, right? Because he doesn't live in buildings of wood and stone. He lives in the hearts, in the spirits of his people. So the Holy Spirit is the gift of God for those who have put their trust in Yeshua and who want to serve God. That's, I believe, the key. Serving God is the key. When you get to the place of wanting to serve God, that's when he fills you with his Holy Spirit so that it can pour out of you like a river. But Yeshua also tells us something more. And this is so amazing. Every time I look at this, it just amazes me about what he's saying here. And I just want to share it with you to see if you can grasp it. In John chapter 17, Yeshua says this. He's praying to the Father, and he says to the Father, "I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." So what's he saying here? He's saying that because the Holy Spirit is in you, and here's where it's beyond our comprehension, Yeshua and the Holy Spirit are one. Okay? So because the Holy Spirit is in you, then Yeshua himself is in you. He's in you. I know people are looking like, "What? I can't understand that." But that's what he's saying. And he's speaking the truth. He is in you as a spirit. And then he goes even further in this because, okay, so the Holy Spirit is in you. How many have the Holy Spirit in them? They all believe that. So now do you believe Yeshua is in you? This is actually where it came from, where people said, ask the Lord to come into your heart, right? So Yeshua is in there. But then, listen to this. In verse 23 of the same chapter, Yeshua is speaking to the Father, and he says, "I in them," in other words, "I, Yeshua, in my disciples, and you, Father, in me." Okay, so if Yeshua is in a person, and the Father is in Yeshua, where's the Father?
In us.
Yeah. See, now it gets to be really mind-boggling that the creator of the universe is actually residing in each of us. Can you be thankful for that?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is really hard to grasp. And I don't think as human beings we actually can grasp it. The creator of the universe, he's holding the whole universe together right now, according to the word, by the word of his power. And at the same time, he's in us. And I think this is why God says he's a spirit, because we always think in three dimensions. But a spirit is not bound by time or space. So a spirit can be, and you know, this is a reality, the Spirit of God is here right now, right? But somewhere across the other side of the world, the Spirit of God is speaking to someone in India right now. How does he do that? Because he's not bound by time and space. So he's in you. The Creator is in you. So I'm going to wrap things up, but I think this is going to be a series because there's another about 22 gifts that God has given for those who serve. And you know what some of these are. We're going to talk about them in the next few weeks. There's the gifts called the gifts of the Spirit. And then there are ministry gifts and there are ability gifts. And ability gifts, you may not be familiar with them, but they're the gifts that enable us to do something, to achieve something for the kingdom of God. And why are they called gifts? It's because he gives them to his people without us earning them. So we'll be grateful and we'll be humble when these gifts bear fruit and not think we've achieved things by our own ability, and God will get the glory. So we're going to go on and teach about the spiritual gifts. And some of you might think, well, if God gives them, why do you need to teach about them? People are just going to get them, right? Well, here's why we're going to go this place. Perhaps you've received a gift, but you didn't realize what it was. And when you understand what the Bible says about God's gifts, it helps you to recognize that God is the giver. And when it comes again in the future, you will be thankful for it. Or perhaps you've been helped by a gift from God through someone else, or seen a gift in action, but you weren't aware of what it was, and you're not sure it came from God, so you're really not that thankful for it. But once you see these gifts, you'll see that. And the main reason to teach on these gifts, and we'll go back over this next time, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, Paul says this, "Eagerly seek the better gifts." And people won't do that unless they know what they are and they understand what the benefit is and how they can help. And he wants each of us to be thankful for the gifts he's given us. He wants us to receive the gifts. How would you feel if you offered someone a gift and they refused it? Hurt, right? Like, they don't value you. Here I am offering a gift, something that was valuable to me, and you're refusing it. Not only does he want us to receive them, but he wants us each to use his gifts. Again, how would you feel if you carefully researched what someone needed, and then you spent lots of energy trying to find it, and then you spent lots of money purchasing it, and you gave it to them, the person received it, and afterwards they never used it? So God gives his children 22 of these gifts, and we're going to continue with that next time, starting with the 9 gifts in the book of 1 Corinthians called the spiritual gifts. And then we've got another 13 coming up after that. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the gift of life. Let's just thank him. Thank you for life, that we are alive. Thank you for family, that you didn't place us in the world alone, that you gave us family, Father. Thank you for the natural abilities you gave us that enable us to make a living, to gain wealth, Lord. Thank you for free will. Thank you for your word, Father. Where would we be without your word? Thank you, Lord. We all received gifts this season, but these gifts are so precious, Lord. I would say that these gifts are beyond anything that anybody here got for Hanukkah or Christmas. These are awesome gifts. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son that you gave to this world. We thank you for salvation through his sacrifice that those who trust in him receive. We thank you for the gift of eternal life, the gift of purpose, the gift of righteousness. We thank you for these gifts, Father. Thank you for love, yes. Yes. Thank you for your peace. Anybody think of other gifts that God gives besides the spiritual gifts? But just wisdom and children, hope. Thank you for these gifts, Lord. Just call them out if you think of other gifts. Teaching is a gift. We're going to look at that, actually. Provision. Encouragement. Father, we just thank you. Direction and faith to move mountains. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you that once you made that sacrifice, you didn't stay in the grave, but you rose, and you're alive. And so we can have that relationship with you because you're still alive, Father. And so we thank you today. Thank you, Lord. And the least we can do, Father, is to give something back to you. So if you're willing, Lord, I give my life back to you, Lord, as a gift, Lord, in thanksgiving. Just give him your life, Father. We give it back to you. I mess it up and can't do much with it. Your word says that we can't bear fruit unless we are connected to the vine. So we give our lives back to you, Father. And we thank you for giving and receiving. Thank you for this season. In Yeshua's name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Rabbi Jeff.
Thank you, Lord.